Welcome, dumbheads, to Mega Dumbcast's Summer Superhero Countdown. Last season on MDC, I read every goddamn page of Palladium's Heroes Unlimited RPG, identifying the dumbest thing on each page. Now, to finish the job and lead into the next full season of MDC, I will be rating the additional categories of superhero found in Heroes Unlimited supplements. I'll be discussing one power category per day until the first day of summer in ascending order of dumbness. Now, let's get to the countdown with today's category. Today, we're discussing the eighth dumbest of the power categories for Heroes Unlimited that appear outside the core. If I may perhaps seem harried today, if I may seem like I am trying to set the land speed record for podcasting, it's because I am. A number of factors have come together. Let me just set the scene for you. I'm in a tiny trailer. This podcast studio, it's in Portland, and it's downtown Portland, and it's very warm right now for a Portlander. A normal human being would flourish with this kind of weather. For me, though, I am wilting. I'm wilting like delicate flowers here on the table in this trailer in Portland. I'm beginning the recording of like 8 podcast episodes that I'm going to do all in a row. The whole rest of the countdown, it's all happening in one session, ideally. We'll see how it goes. You see, I've allotted a specific amount of time to talk about each of these dumbass power categories. However, the podcasters who had the trailer slash studio before me decided to go long. No doubt their podcast was about something extremely important, life or death, fate of humanity. And so they went long. They went like 15 minutes long. Then I had to come in here and get myself all set up, get my whole rig set up, right? Because I do, let's not say an important podcast, but a thorough and exacting one. Many times more thorough and exacting than it deserves. So I got my whole setup. I brought my own microphone and I've got my laptop here and everything. So by the time I get set up, it is now 4:31 p.m. Portland time, which by my math leaves me -1 minute of allotted time to record today's episode, which just happens to be about Gestalt superhumans. This is perhaps the most tangled and confusing and varied of all the power categories I'm talking about on the countdown. So let's see if I can do it justice in -1 minute, or as close to that as possible. Thing number one, the logo for Gestalt Superhumans in the book, the little logo that says the words Gestalt Superhumans, it's made of people. Like Soylent Green or the sets in a kindergarten play, it's made of people. These are creepy people. This is some Hellraiser shit right off the bat. And the reason that the logo is made of people is because the point of the Gestalt superhero is that this is a superhero who is made of lots of different creatures who come together to form one superhero. You know, like Swamp Thing, who's made of plants, or The Swarm, that supervillain who's made of bugs, or Captain Planet, who is made of the naive teenage environmentalisms of the Planeteers, or Firestorm, who's made of a physicist and a teenager or something like that. I don't give a fuck about Firestorm. I'm sorry. I do apologize. It's nothing against him. I'm going to go follow Let's Talk Firestorm on Twitter just for that. I don't know that account to exist, but it must. What you may notice right off the bat about all these characters I've mentioned is that they're not very similar, in fact. Other than this this one core, admittedly weird and defining thing that the hero or villain is made of lots of different pieces, in some sense, there's not a lot of connection. Like, you wouldn't think the same rules would represent all of those characters in a role-playing game. And in fact, they don't. What we have in this power category is a bunch of subcategories, and within those subcategories, many sub-subcategories. And each of them offers different rules to handle what are fundamentally different characters. And that's the basic dumb thing about this, is this is one idea. It's like, hey, why don't we? It's one of those role-playing game ideas. Hey, why don't we have a power category where it's like a lot of different whatevers that come together to form a superhero? Like so many of these hey, why don't we ideas, it sounds real good when you're sitting around shooting the shit with your gamer friends, waiting for Sarah and her boyfriend to show up with those craft beers so that everybody can play D&D, which, by the way, is what they got together to do, not to drink craft beers. You know, you're having one of these casual gaming conversations, it sounds real good, but then when your friends leave and the snacks and the alcohol have run out and you're left alone and you're actually writing these rules, you're actually trying to implement this hey, why don't we? You have to give it more thought. You have to start breaking it down. You got to start sharpening the idea. Or you could have two other role-playing game designers just pile on top and sort of do a reverse process of sculpture. It's like, rather than chipping away at this marble and creating a flawless pieta, why don't we instead take this marble and just cover it in ill-shaped mounds of Play-Doh? If we add volume, we can have not only this stirring image of Our Lady, but also we could add some gargoyles on there. We could fit on a little David over there on the side, mold my own face over here onto the reverse side, just a little Easter egg. We could add whatever we want. We could just keep going and going. And at the end of it, we'll have a fucking monstrosity. Not art, but a monstrosity. And that's kind of what we have here. I don't want to oversell the dumbness of this power category because on the fundamentals, it's okay. It is an idea for a thing that wasn't in Heroes Unlimited. You couldn't do this. Now you can. So I can only begrudge it so much. However, the implementation is just bananas. And on top of being poorly implemented, it's also implemented in a way that is hard to podcast about, especially when you've only got -1 minute. So let's get moving. First of all, our introduction to this power category is a quote from the dictionary. And here it is. The American Heritage Dictionary defines the word gestalt as a unified physical, psychological, or symbiotic configuration having properties that cannot be derived from its parts. If I had a positive number of minutes to talk about this power category, I would have something to say about the egregious amateurishness of starting your published work with according to the dictionary, and not just any dictionary either, by the way, but the American Heritage Dictionary, which nothing against it, but it's just gauche. One instantly asks, why not the Oxford English Dictionary? There's two levels of gauche here. It's like showing up to a first date, not only with chocolates, but with like Hershey's fun-sized chocolates. And also, I heard that their usage panel was mainly a publicity stunt. Sick dictionary burn. Okay, moving on, because we have to keep moving. So we've got four different subtypes of gestalt superhero or supervillain. I want to point out throughout this power category, we keep getting these little nods to something I think that the author is trying to get around to saying. For example, right at the beginning, right on page one, quote, gestalt characters should be very rare in the world of Heroes Unlimited, just as they are in comic books today. Players wishing to create a gestalt character should seek GM approval, for they may not wish to allow such a strange power category into their campaign. Not only does the gestalt hero take a considerable amount of time to roll up, there's also plenty of room for player abuse with these unique character types. Of course, as a villain, the gestalt NPC will certainly frustrate, mystify, and possibly creep out the hero group. They will have no idea that the reason the villain disappears into a crowd so easily is because he is now five separate people. You can hear the ambivalence of the Palladium GM. Ah, this thing is so cool, and it's so complicated, and it takes so long, and it's so weird, and potentially off-putting. That's exactly what I want in my back pocket. I want to do things that take a lot of time and are off-putting, potentially, and frustrate people. But if I put it in the game, the players might get to it, and I don't like them to frustrate me. I like to frustrate them. I am the game master. So there's a little implication throughout that this is more for villains than it is for player characters. But anyway, four categories. There's the animal type, which is there's all these different animals that make up your weird body. Then there's the plant type, which is the same thing, except it's not animals, it's plants. Then there's the human physical, which is where you've got multiple regular people, like human beings, and they can form together into one unified body of a superhero, like how the Forever People can turn into Infinity Man. I realize that is not maybe the most widely accessible explanatory analogy, but you know what? I got to get this podcast done in -1 minute. And if you don't know who the Forever People are, I don't have time to stop for you. I'm sorry. And then you have the human psychic gestalt superhero character. And this is where you have two or more regular people. And what they do is combine their minds together to form a separate being with its own body. This is the Captain Planet style one. And then it goes and does its own super thing. So first, let's talk about like animal and plant type. These are good ideas. This is something that justifies its existence because, again, a body that is made of like all kinds of little plants or especially animals is not really something that's doable with the core rules. It is a type of superhero, albeit quite a niche one. And there are lots of rules here to address the fact that, for example, like they wouldn't have the normal attribute layout, right? They like determining the SDC of a creature like this is kind of strange. There are rules for that. Those rules are questionable. Nits could be picked, if you'll forgive the disgusting and appropriate image. For example, it's just taken as given that wherever you are, as like the controlling spirit of this animal body, you can just summon whatever the appropriate type of creature is to you. So there's like one type of creature you're made of. And there's a whole list of different ones. It could be like bugs, could be little mammals, could be starfish. Starfish are called out as like there's one type of invertebrate. So no matter where you go, what you do, you're always starfish guy. You're just made of tons and tons of starfish glomming together. And no matter where you go, when it's time for you to embody to fight crime, starfish just show up. Like whoever the nearest 1,000 starfish are, they just feel the urge and I guess cartwheel to your location, which they can do within moments, no matter what, you can be in the middle of the desert, and when it's time to get into action, thousands of starfish just come rolling over the horizon, cartwheeling down the dunes to form your weird starfish body. You would think perhaps that means that you're like magically creating starfish, but in fact not, because there's also rules for like what happens to these star. Look, we're not monsters. We care about what happens to each of these individual starfish. Where do they come from? What's their story? Where do they go after we're done here? Right? This is a highlight in the starfish's life. For one day, they get to be part of something bigger and punch a monster or fight off an alien invasion or something. But then what? Where do you go from there as a starfish? There are rules for that, right? How long can you keep them part of your body before they start to starve? The answer is 3 days. And you can't eat or drink during the time that you are part of a superhero's body. So if the superhero tries to stay together for more than 3 days, all the creatures start to die because they can't take in any nutrition and they can't get out of there. They're all just stuck together, right? We've all been in that meeting. Some days it sucks to be a starfish. Also, we learned that if the hero discorporates, you know, if they just drop the body, then all the animals go scurrying away. They don't like, you know, turn to dust or return to the land of the celestial starfish, like a summon creature in D&D or whatever. They just leave. So like, you're a very rude friend to starfish, I guess is what I'm trying to say. It's like you invite people out into the middle of the desert. And then when you're done having fun, you're like, okay, everybody, good luck getting home. So already we've got potentially ethical issues with being made of starfish. I would recommend maybe something that is either more survivable, like maybe squirrels or something, or something you just don't give a fuck about, like silverfish. Mostly I'm kidding, but I will say I've certainly gamed with people who, if you tried to play a superhero who's made of, like, salamanders, those players would for sure get more invested in the fate of those salamanders than in the stakes of whatever superhero plot you're doing. If every time you fight evil, you release hundreds of salamanders into a hostile habitat, that could become a distraction for the group. After you've determined what kind of creature your body is made of, if you're one of these animal guys, then you also have to determine, like, what the fuck you are, why you have a salamander body. There's, guess what, 4 different options for this. You could be a spirit or entity. You could be a once human essence. This is the, quote, human folly option, where a human fucked up somehow and now they ended up as an incorporeal human spirit who has to wear a starfish suit to function. This is like the Swamp Thing option. Or you could be a force of nature, or you could be a, quote, unknown being. And this is where you're so mysterious, even you don't know what the fuck is going on with you. You have no idea what you are, where you came from. You have, like, no idea what your past is. All you know is, most of the time I'm nothing, the rest of the time I'm starfish, and I'm just living it one day at a time. And then there's a whole complicated power selection thing where there's, like, a random table of which abilities you get, but they're specific abilities, some of which make a lot of sense for an animal creature, like Animal Brother or Beast Master, and then others of them don't necessarily make sense for all or most animals, like Flight or Mechanical Awareness or Resin. And then there are totally other abilities that aren't even superpowers that are also on the same table, like the ability to take animal psionics, like from the Mutant Animal section, or the ability to astrally project for some reason, I don't know. There's just a lot going on here. This section is extremely long. Have I mentioned this section is like 20 goddamn pages long? Because it's just different types of characters. Now, granted, the plant version of this is basically the same as the animal one, except the powers are slightly different, but all the stuff we just talked about is basically cut and pasted verbatim into the plant section. Next up is the physical human gestalt. Lots and lots of different people come together to form the superhero. It may just be 2, but likely it's going to be the whole group. That's what they recommend. In fact, this power category has lots of thoughts about why it would be super fun to have everybody in the group, all the player characters, play a regular person who all come together to form one superhero. The advantages are listed. Quote, for one, all the players merge to become one super being, requiring the players to work by committee when they are one. For another, the human gestalt character would require a lot of teamwork and rely upon close player interaction and mutual cooperation. Furthermore, if one person bites the dust, there goes the gestalt, so the entire group has a vested interest in watching each other's back. So, right there, that's 3 amazing benefits of running your game this way. Number one, all actions in every combat have to be decided by committee. Number 2, play requires a high level of out-of-character cooperation at all times, so everyone has to be present and paying attention for everything. If anyone goes to the bathroom, you have to stop. And number 3, if any one player character dies, then the whole campaign is fucked because there are no superheroes in it anymore. But those are like the broad strokes, right? How do you actually run this combined superhero at the table, right? Because you got all these players trying to run one superhero. So fortunately, we got random tables for this too. Don't make choices. Make rolls on random tables. The very first option, the one you have a 25% chance of rolling, about who decides when to form the Gestalt superhero is, quote, one person. A leader type always decides. As long as the other members of the Gestalt are within range, the Gestalt being will be formed by one person's decision. The only say the others have is to verbally convince or dissuade the leader. So this is a style of play, a really fun one, where you've got five or six people around the table, if it's a small group for a Palladium game, and they all cooperatively play one character. They've all got their own character, but then sometimes they all form up into one character and have to make all their decisions by committee. And when do they form up into one character so that none of them can act independently? Whenever one particular player character decides to do it. So if you're having a disagreement in the group and everybody's like, hey, Bill, don't be an asshole and go speeding through traffic during rush hour just for kicks because you're bored and you drank too much Red Bull. I know you can't sit still for the plot. And then Bill is like, hey, look, who's the leader of Combinatory Lass here? Is it you? Is it you? No, it's me. Bill is the leader of Combinatory Lass. We're all Combinatory Lass, but I form the head. So everybody bring it in, come on in. Forcibly, Bill brings all the other player characters in. Combinatory Lass is formed. And now I guess we're getting into the fucking traffic. Or at least we're not going to do the other thing the rest of the group wants to do, because now we're Combinatory Lass. Everybody's got to drop their personal shit because we've all been hijacked and thrown into Combinatory Lass. But how does this work mechanically? What do we have to do to come together into one being? Well, there's a table for that too. There are some cases where you've got a character who can form their single superhero form no matter how spread out the individual PCs are. There are others who have to physically touch each other. Although the rules do say, quote, whatever the particulars are of the contact, it is usually a constant formation or pose that must be achieved. And for those of you with devilish minds, it cannot be lewd in nature. Which, I'm not saying I want to play a campaign with five player characters who are regular people from random walks of life who, when they hear on the police scanner that there's a crime, they all got to get together in a room and do a full scene of hardcore group fucking before they can go fight crime. That doesn't seem fun to me. However, I resent the implication that I need the rules to stop me. I wouldn't do that. Why would you think that I would? And, like, sex sometimes happens in a role-playing game. Are we not allowed to fuck in a Palladium role-playing game? And if we are allowed to fuck, then why is this the only act of physical contact that can't create a superhero by these means? I mean, like, I guess when I think about it, almost every superhero is created by fucking, right? But anyway, I resent this being brought up, both for what it implies about me and my group, and also because I'm trying to podcast about this goddamn power category, and how am I supposed to pass up a specific prohibition against making your character's fusion dance a sexy fusion dance? You can't not talk about it, but you can leave it behind, which is what I'm doing now. Can you believe that there's yet another subcategory to this? A whole different kind of hero. The psychic human gestalt, which is where you've got all the individual player characters, and then they all, you know, focus their will and intent, and they create a separate body, a separate being. This too has lots of cut and paste. Like, there's a whole passage here, quote, the members of the Gestalt can be of varied age, health, gender, occupation, and backgrounds. One could be a very athletic female, another a scrawny bookworm, a third a handsome businessman, and a fourth an invalid or child or grandmother, etc. None of their individual traits affect their heroic persona, blah, 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 blah. This is cut and pasted exactly from the last subcategory that we just read. There's no excuse for this. There's no excuse to have a 20 goddamn page power category cutting and pasting at length from itself. Anyway, this is like the Captain Planet option, as I said. It's slightly different in what kind of powers you get. Everything needs to be implemented differently because there's a separate being here. The dumbest thing about this power category is not even that it's too long, although it is. It's not even that it is redundant, even though it is. The deeper problem, the essential problem here, is that these are really 2 to 4 separate ideas crammed into one power category, with the result that it has to be huge. It has to retrace its steps a lot because you've got similar situations, but different enough that they need to be separately addressed over and over again in the space of a few pages. And they all get hooked into using elements of the same framework, which they really shouldn't. Ideally, animal and plant would be just the same subcategory, right? They're not that different. It would be a power category for superheroes who are made of other little living things, as weird as that is. And that way you can do your whole thing about, like, what do we do about attributes? What do we do about SDC? What happens if somebody incinerates half of the starfish that you're made of? You can get your whole length that you need to address those issues. Then we would have something that is like, what if a hero has multiple secret identities? What if a hero is made up of, in some sense, 4 or 5 regular people? And that would be more like a modification to other power categories, sort of like the mega hero is, or the way that the alien can have another power category within it. It would just be a little modification. You know, like, do you want to play a crazy hero? Do you want to play a mega hero? Do you want to play a combined hero? And that hero could be an alien, a magically empowered character, blah, blah, blah. It would be a lot more succinct. It would be a lot more workable, and it wouldn't uncomfortably jam these separate ideas all together with sort of like clearly the creative input of three different authors, never quite synthesized into one cohesive whole, ironically. Anyway, the old clock on the laptop says that I now have negative 6 minutes to record my next episode, so join me next time for that as we discuss the seventh dumbest power category for non-core Heroes Unlimited as MDC's Summer Superhero Countdown continues. This has been part of MDC's 2019 Summer Superhero Countdown. A new episode will drop every day through June 21st. To support the show and fund a new full season of Palladium's Beyond the Supernatural RPG, donate at patreon.com/megadumbcast. Find or contact the show wherever you want. It is Megadumbcast on Podbean, Gmail, Twitter, etc., etc. MDC, Palladium Books, Heroes Unlimited, and all other trademarks are property of Kevin Sambita. This theme song, used under a Creative Commons license, is Surf Shimmy by Kevin MacLeod, whose work you can find at Incompetech.com.